Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, as you probably know, there are incels, men's rights groups and so-called pickup artists. The internet has given space to a vast array of groups of men who feel hard done by, specifically by the idea that women are equal to them. The author Laura Bates has waded through this underworld for her new book, Men Who Hate Women. And Laura joins us now on News Talk. Afternoon, Laura.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
I assume, Laura, for a lot of the research for this, you had to pretend to be a man.
I did, yeah. And a specific kind of man as well, a very disaffected young man who believes that the world is stacked against men, that white men are the real victims of society, that false rape allegations are absolutely through the roof, that a huge number of men are being tricked by women into raising children that aren't really theirs, that you can trick any woman into having sex if you just know the right buttons to push. It was a kind of huge community to infiltrate, and I was really shocked to discover just how extensive it was that we were talking about, you know, hundreds of thousands of men. When we talk about these groups, I think we tend to think of them as a few oddballs here or there, but actually the websites, the forums, the platforms that I infiltrated had tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of members. So this is a much bigger phenomenon than we might like to think.
And were they largely white men, and maybe in a few countries, or is it more global?
Yes, it is global, but it's very much focused around the United States, Canada, Australia, and the UK in particular. There are men of colour within these groups, but they are highly racist spaces. They overlap significantly with white supremacists and with neo-Nazis and the far right. So generally speaking, they tend to be predominantly white men.
Right. Now, one of the stranger manifestations of this, because it seems to be completely self-contradictory, is men going their own way. I mean, I essentially, are these men who claim that they've taken a vow of celibacy?
Yes, but also who aim to go even further than that. In many cases, they not only choose not to have romantic relationships with women, but also in many cases, no sexual relationships, and to avoid them altogether, even in the workplace and in their daily lives, which sounds, I think, quite laughable. And it's easy to kind of dismiss this as a group of weirdos. But actually, there was a study recently that found that 27% of American men now say that they avoid one-to-one meetings with women in the workplace. And you've got somebody as high profile as Mike Pence, the vice president of the United States, who will not ever have dinner alone with a woman except for his wife. Mm. So actually, these views are more mainstream than we might like to think.
Yeah. Though then again, like it's 21%. And as I understood, that Pence rule came from his Christianity rather than he was worried someone's going to accuse him of rape.
Yeah, so of course there's a really broad variety of different reasons why people buy into these different beliefs. But if you're in a position as high profile as being the vice president, then obviously narrowing down the pool of people that you're prepared to have a meal with is going to have an impact on the careers of women around you in politics. Mm. And for the vast majority of these men, they sort of take that as a kind of presumed support of their position. Whether or not Mike Pence has any idea that these groups even exist, obviously we don't know. This is not to suggest that he is actively encouraging them, but it is to say that some of the ideas that we might think of as very extreme online are actually much more common in society than we might realize.
Yeah. Now the men going their own way are saying they don't have any contact with women but spend an awful lot of time talking about women, or pretty much all their time online talking about women. Is that in itself just talk, say, compared to incels? And we have seen multiple examples of them being actually, you know, dangerous at killing people in the real world. Or incels, if you like, in terms of a physical threat, are incels more concerning?
Yes, I think so, certainly. In terms of real world violence, it's definitely incels are the community that we have seen cross over into real world terrorist attacks. So in the book, I've linked incels directly to over 100 murders or serious injuries in the last 10 years alone. We know that incels have committed mass shootings and mass acts of violence, for example, the Santa Barbara massacre, the Toronto van attack that many listeners, I'm sure, will have heard of. of. Mm. But what we often haven't heard of is the motive behind those attacks, because when somebody commits an attack very explicitly in the name of this extremist ideology, this hatred of women, we don't describe it as terrorism. The man who carried out that van attack in Toronto was not charged with terrorism. The newspaper headlines didn't mention terrorism. They didn't use the word terrorist to describe him. So this is a kind of terrorism, I would argue, which is really under the radar, and that's what makes it quite dangerous.
Yeah, and would it be a common opinion among incels that rape should be legalized?
Yes, so I would say that incels will argue that you're taking them out of context, that you're holding up one bad apple to smear the bunch. But if you look at these communities, at the incel community in particular, of course it's a varied community. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of men. Of course there are men in there who wouldn't dream of committing violence. There are many men who are vulnerable, who have come up against very real issues and problems in their own lives, and that's not to be diminished. Mm-hmm. But it is not true to say that there are only a few outliers in these communities who talk about violence. The majority of these websites are absolutely steeped in vitriolic hatred. They are inciting violence hundreds of times a day. There is a huge amount of these websites that is entirely devoted to celebrating the men who have gone out and massacred women in real life. They yeah. call them saints, they call them heroes, they create videos celebrating them. So the idea that actually these are just extreme outliers and the whole community isn't really violent isn't the case.
Now, you did mention, though, that there are people in these communities who are somewhat vulnerable. That's not to excuse anything, of course. But I don't know if this is still a thing, but the whole pickup artist, was that just a con? That was like crappy self-help books for people.
So we're very good at sort of dismissing pickup artistry in popular culture. We think of it as a kind of fad, as people sort of think, oh, that doesn't happen anymore. Or when it's portrayed in popular culture, we tend to think of pickup artists as sort of lovable rogues, you know, hapless, charming men who somehow can't quite get a date with a woman and they rely on silly jokes and chat up lines. But the truth is that this is actually a $100 million industry globally. And pre-COVID-19, on any weekend in pretty much any major city in the world, you could spend thousands of dollars on going out with a so-called pickup guru to learn how to essentially sexually harass and in some cases assault women. And again, obviously, this is nuanced and complicated. So you've got men who come to these communities because they're teenagers who haven't had much success with women and they're looking for advice, or they're shy older men who have never connected with a woman and they want some support. That's absolutely true. But it's also true that many of the leading lights of these communities, even the men who are charging thousands of pounds to teach their tricks to other men, have advocated for the legalization of rape, have described in some detail committing sexual violence themselves, have posted videos of themselves online in the street, forcing women's faces into their crotch, shouting Pikachu at Japanese women. The racism comes in here as well, very much, and sexually assaulting women. And there have been cases, for example, where women have found detailed accounts of their own rapes on pickup forums, and men have been jailed as a result. So again, of course, this isn't to say that every member of these communities is a criminal. It's very complicated. I acknowledge that. That's important. But again, it's not just a few outliers. The overwhelming thrust of this enormous community and this global multi-million dollar industry is about sexually harassing women, about tricking them, about conning them into the bedroom. And it focuses on things like what they call overcoming last minute resistance. In other words, how to force a woman into having sex if she changes her mind.
Now, the subtitle of the book is The Truth About Extreme Misogyny and How It Affects Us All, because one could still say, well, these are just kind of nutbags on the Internet. How does this translate into mainstream culture and into real world culture, apart from the examples you've already given, of course?
Well, a lot of these ideas are being sort of smuggled through kind of semi-respectable intermediaries into our mainstream culture. The media, for example, has learned that there'll be a lot more clickbait and controversy on an article about feminism and women's rights that sort of talks about how outrageous women are trying to ban Kleenex from having man-sized tissues than an article that looks at, you know, the lack of funding for domestic abuse shelters. You've got tabloids using the word feminine Nazi on their front pages. You've got the President of the United States saying it's a very scary time to be a young man in America. You've got the Today program live on air asking whether Me Too is really a witch hunt. So there are lots of ways in which these ideas, these myths propagated by these extremist corners of the internet have actually become quite mainstream without us necessarily even noticing it. And for me, that came out really clearly when I was in schools talking to young people about sexism and sexual violence. And I started to realize how many teenage boys in particular have really been groomed and radicalized online to believe that women hate them, that the world is completely stacked against them, that they're at very high risk of false rape allegations and so on. The statistics really don't bear any of this out, but it is becoming quite pervasive. And if any other kind of group were deliberately targeting teenage boys with these very extreme ideas, with this hatred about one particular group, we would call it radicalization. We would think of it as a form of grooming. But we don't in this case. It simply isn't taken seriously.
Laura, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Laura Bates. Her latest book is called Men Who Hate Women, From Incels to Pickup Artists, The Truth About Extreme Misogyny and How It Affects Us All.
Moncrief on News Talk.